really nice to be spending this dark evening together thinking about the coming of the light of the world and sharing this approach to Christmas with you all. We lit the third candle this evening, and the third candle because it's the third Sunday in Advent. And during this Advent time, as a church, we've called our series this year, we've called it Good News for All the People. We've taken the angel's words from that last reading that Emma brought to us, and we've been thinking about how Jesus is good news for people of all different kinds. I wonder if that strikes you, good news for all the people. There's been so much bad news out there. You think about what our town has seen in 2018, murders, the rise in drug-related crime, knife crime. You think about migrants in boats crossing different oceans. You think perhaps of that terrible bridge collapse in Italy just a couple of months ago. And if it's not bad news, well, it's just boring news, isn't it? It's tedious news. It's, I don't know, am I the only one getting tired of Brexit chat and all the uncertainty and inertia? But Christmas, we're told, is good news. News that we'll find interesting, refreshing, uplifting for the soul. Is such news possible? Well, the angel says it is. Perhaps we've never heard anything like it. Perhaps we're so used to bad news, that's the only news we know. It can be hard to get used to the idea of any other kind of news and appreciate the flavour of good news and what it could taste like. Perhaps we're so unfamiliar with it. It's one thing to take in that Christmas could be good news. It's another thing to realise it's for me. The stories we hear in the news are usually about other people, aren't they? Worse off people. Worse people. More influential people. More unfortunate people. We're used to news being about other people. But it's different with the good news of Christmas. The angel said it's good news of great joy that will be for all the people. No exceptions. He didn't exclude young mums or middle-aged men or prisoners or pensioners. He said good news for all the people. Are you one of the people? Then it's good news for you. Now, tonight we're taking an angle. We're thinking about how Jesus is good news for the low paid. Why is that? Well, because the shepherds who we just read about came from the lowest rung of society. To be a shepherd was to be right on the margins. I don't like to try and draw a modern equivalent. You can do that in your own minds. But we can safely assume that pay and conditions were poor. It was dangerous work, physically demanding, tiring. You could be up all night. Your flock were prey to wild animals, and it was your job to protect them. Perhaps some of that resonates with you, unless you're a zookeeper. You know, you're probably not prey to wild animals. But if that doesn't resonate with you or relate to you particularly, don't switch off. Because these shepherds stand for more than just the low paid. They were carers. They were carers of others' property. Carers of animals that probably didn't belong to them. They had responsibility for the property of others, which went largely unnoticed. What they did was largely unappreciated and unvalued. Maybe you can relate to some of that. Perhaps you've terrific pressures at work. You're responsible for others, responsible to others. Maybe what you do at work gets you little reward or recognition. Even Christmas won't truly be a break for some people here, because even when you're off, you care for an elderly relative or young children, a sick spouse. Nobody sees the half of what you do. You get little thanks or acknowledgement or recognition for what you do. Well, the angels came to people like that. And their message was, God's got something for you this Christmas. And those are the people God goes to first with the news. God gives these people special attention. He wants them to know he has something special in store for all the overworked and the underpaid and the unappreciated. For all those who feel they may be missing out somehow and that life is passing them by. God says, I've got something specially for you. Something that will more than make up for what you feel you're missing out on. He's got a sight for sore eyes. It's the sight of his own son, coming to inhabit our own human life, this human reality, human existence, alongside us, with us, for us. And he's coming to save us. He's going to be a savior. Save us? What's he going to save us from? He's going to save us from all kinds of things, from ourselves, from condemnation, from sin, from judgment. For what? What's he going to save us for? For something better. For God, for neighbor, for good, for everlasting life. So if you're one of those people, what does God want you to have this Christmas? More than anything else, what does God want for you to have? Probably not one of the things on your Christmas list. It's not a pay rise. Nice though that would be. It's probably not a break, though that would be welcome. It's not even proper acknowledgement for what you do, however good that would feel. Can I tell you what God wants for you more than anything else this Christmas? What he thinks is most important is that you know a Savior has been born to you. He wants you to know that the Lord is now present in this world. The promised King we've read about has arrived. He's going to save us and help us in so many ways that take a bit of unpacking. But that's what he wants. I wonder if you've ever found things in places that you've least expected to find them. I was at St. Luke's the other day, just by myself. And I went into the kitchen of St. Luke's Church to make myself a cup of tea. And I opened the crockery cupboard, where we keep the crockery, right? Cups, and there's a few pots and pans at the very bottom. You know, you get the idea. It's a catering cupboard. It's that sort of cupboard. It's a cupboard I'm familiar with. I knew what I was looking for, and I opened it. You know, I was looking for cups, saucers. But there on the shelf, right by the cups, Lynx Sport Blast. If it's yours, you can collect it from me at the end. Lynx Sport Blast. For a deeper wash, use a man washer, it says on it. And it's a bit like that with Christmas. There in a manger, in a small barn, you expect to find animals and straw and shovels and... But God's there. Your Savior and your Helper. All wrapped up in swaddling cloths in a baby grow. In that stable scene, such a familiar sight, place you're used to going to in your mind, we stumble upon God, our Maker, our Saviour. I wasn't looking for shower gel. I was just hoping for a cup of tea. Just a cup of tea. But in that moment, I discovered Sport Blast. I did. It made me chuckle. It made me chuckle to think what I actually found hidden in the crockery cupboard, you know? And actually, I was so struck to find shower gel in there, I almost forgot I'd been looking for a cup. Just for a while, I was like, how strange. And it's the same with Christmas. Maybe we come to Christmas looking for tradition, familiarity, special feeling, mince pies, carols. And then in the middle of it, you are face to face with God's own Son, hidden in the carols, in the readings, the story. In this moment, there's God's Son in a manger, there for you. Somehow the mince pies, the decorations, the tree, it all fades into the background, doesn't it? Because you've found Jesus, a saviour for you. Well, we've more carols to sing yet, all of them pointing us to Jesus. But what if you discovered, the good news of Jesus' birth was for you, and that here is the Son of God, turned your helper and saviour, that he's there for you? Well, the angel said it would bring you joy. That's what he told the shepherds. He said, it's good news of great joy that will be for all the people. And for sure, the shepherds did seem very joyful. They after the reading ended, it says that when they'd seen him, they spread the word concerning what had been told them about this child. And all who heard it were amazed at what the shepherds said to them. And then it says the shepherds returned, glorifying and praising God for all the things they'd heard and seen, which were just as had been told them. It wasn't so much the joy that comes from too much mulled wine, that sort of joy that leaves you with a sore head. That's a joy you kind of regret sometimes. And others regret you having that joy too. This is a joy that lasts, a joy that settles deep in your soul. It's a joy that makes you come back again and again and again to that moment and that person and the people you're celebrating with. The RSPCA, don't they say at Christmas? They say famously, a dog isn't just for Christmas. But many people treat Jesus worse than they treat a puppy. They ditch him in the new year. But those who truly meet Jesus at Christmas won't ditch him in the new year. He's a joy they come back to again and again and again. He's the deep joy in our lives. Now, our next carol is much like the angel's words. It's a kind of invitation to go and see. The angels were giving the shepherds an invitation, weren't they? Just go and see what's down there, around the corner. An invitation to go and see the Lord Jesus. Telling the shepherds what they would find if they went to see Jesus. And this famous carol, O Come All Ye Faithful, it's an invitation. Come. Come and adore him. Born the King of Angels. O come, let us adore him. O come, let us adore him. O come, let us adore him. Christ the Lord.